Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
2-2, a strike away from a win. Chapman throws, and a ground ball to short. Story's got it. He throws to first in time. Ball game over. The Red Sox win the opener in New York. It was not easy. It was at times maddening, but a big blast from Roman Anthony seals the deal, and the Red Sox win game one, 6-3.
Final call from Will Fleming last night on WEEI. Yankees lose. Red Sox win. Red Sox needed this one. The rivalry is fully back and continues in the Red Sox favor between these two teams. They are now 6-1 on the season against the Yankees. Last night was a competitive game, John Lyons, but it was an ugly one. It was competitive, but it was not a fun game to watch up until that Roman Anthony homer. And Roman Anthony, the greatest 21-year-old in New England since Jason Tatum. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, since Jason Tatum. Or wow, do you put him greater than Tatum now?
No, I'm not going to do that. But, yeah, that's a good cover. And that Roman Anthony home run and the little arrogant bat flip after, like, how dare you even pitch to me type deal. Top three favorite moment of the season for me. I mean, the Rafaela walk-off against Tampa Bay, the first time seeing Garrett Crochet pitch in a Red Sox uniform, and that Anthony homer. That was awesome. Right, kind of a wild game. Bunch of errors. The Yankees committed four. Red Sox committed one. They had their customary base running gaffe as well. But, man, that was for the Red Sox in that. Like, that's, to me, Mego, that was a game that last year, the year before that, the Red Sox would have lost.
How about day before?
Like, they would have lost, but the quote-unquote old Red Sox from the last couple of years would have found a way to lose that game. I mean, it's 3-3 game in the seventh inning. You'd made some errors. Instead, last night, they go ahead in the seventh. They get that huge home run in the ninth. That was a lot of fun.
617-779-7937 is your number if you want to call in to join the show today or text in. Megan Ottolini here with John Lyons, our final day filling in for Jones and Keefe this week as they take a couple days off after an incredibly successful Jimmy Fund. Let's hear the call of the Roman Anthony home run on our very own WEEI Red Sox network. This is Will Fleming and, of course, our very own Lou Merlone. Now, remember, leading up to this, we once again saw runners in scoring position, risky if you're not up on it. This is like the biggest stat of the month right now for the Red Sox. But you're sitting there seeing bases loaded again, strikeout. You're like, holy crap, what is going on with this offense? And then Roman Anthony comes to the rescue. But I just love the way that Lou Merlone set this up. Here's the call.
Runner in scoring position.
Oh, man.
At least it's not bases loaded. It's just a man on second. Maybe we can get him in.
Pitch. Roman drives one. High and deep and gone! Roman reigns supreme in Gotham. That is a hit with runners in scoring position. A signature moment for Anthony. And it is 6-3 Red Sox.
So I'm never going to take anything away from Roman Anthony. Like, at this point, I think it's fair to second guess whether the Red Sox should have brought him up earlier, what they were doing there, if that was contract based, especially when you see what they did with Christian Campbell, bumping him up to start this season, when Roman Anthony looks like the most polished, pro-ready prospect that you could have coming up. Cheers to me for the alliteration there. But I do have to say that as fun as the outcome of last night was, the process was not fun to watch. And I think you come out of that game, you got to look at it like with clear eyes to say, have the Red Sox solved a lot of the same problems that led to that horrible loss just a couple days ago against the Orioles? Yeah. Like, I don't want to throw cold water on this because This is what you need in these series, especially this four-game series against the Yankees. You need to take game one. You need to put yourself in the driver's seat. And you did that, and Roman Anthony is awesome. Greatest 21-year-old since Jason Tatum. No taking away from that. But John Lyons, did you come out of last night's game being like, okay, they solved a lot of the same thing. They solved a lot of the issues that we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the Anthony Homer is that he actually got a hit and there was a runner in scoring position, right? They finally, like, that was what maybe my favorite part of it. And yeah, look, it was, to say the least, not a clean game, obviously. And the Yankees, they play defense like it was game five of the World Series. But again, Hamilton gets picked off third. I think you could have had a big inning there in the top of the second inning, right? You get the run, you have Hamilton on third, and I think you blew a chance for a big inning there. Of course, you had the bases loaded in the fifth with nobody out. You did get a sac fly. You were kind of hoping maybe for more than one run there. You got the bases loaded again in the seventh. You got nothing out of that, although you had gotten an RBI by Lowe before that. So, I mean, I think, again, was it nice to see Anthony get a hit with runners in scoring position? Yes. Was it nice to see the bullpen mostly have a clean game? I mean, Wilson allowed the one inherited runner to score. Other than that, they didn't give up any runs, and I think it was, what, 4 1/3 innings in that game. So that was good to see overall. But, you want to see them be cleaner than they were last night for sure, especially early on. It felt like they actually got a little bit better as the game went on, both on the base paths in the field at the plate. But early on, yeah, you want to see them be a little cleaner because you could kind of feel, Mego, like they were getting guys on left and right. They were drawing well. They drew 9 walks in this game. And you're like, at some point, are they going to break through? But then you think back to the other night against Baltimore when they didn't break through. And then it was nice to see them finally break through. Again, they had the low RBI, then they had the home run. They had the story RBI too. So hopefully that's the start of them kind of coming out on the other side of these struggles with guys on base and whatnot.
Nathaniel Lowe looks like a really solid pickup. I tweeted last night that his name is so New England. Nathaniel Lowe sounds like a character from The Crucible.
Yeah, he's Derek Lowe's brother.
Nathaniel Lowe, it's got that ring to it. And then somebody sent me records from the 1800s that there was actually a Nathaniel Lowe in Ipswich, Massachusetts, back in the 1800s. So shout out to that person in my mentions. But you point out the 9 walks that they were able to draw. The Yankees truly sucked last night. Like, especially the first half of the game, the Yankees were really bad. They had 4 errors. You had your own problems. You had an error from Trevor Story that was strange. You had a misplay from Sidon Rafaela that allowed for a triple that probably shouldn't have been a triple the way that it was fielded. And then you also had another strange call from David Hamilton. So you weren't perfect, but it does feel like the Yankees, up until the Roman Anthony home run, like, they were trying to give it away to you. Like, they were not locked in. If you're a Yankees fan coming off of the tear that they've been on going into this game and seeing them show up that way, you're incredibly aggravated and being like, this is the team that you're in lockstep with in your division. You got to show up better than this. So for the Red Sox, I just got to look at it and say, Roman Anthony, incredible. Rest of the team still seems to be figuring something out.
And that's why I said the encouraging thing to me, this is a game that last year before, they would have found a way to lose. So at least they're finding a way to win these games. And yeah, you mentioned Yankees won 7 out of 8 coming into this game. And I think if you look at just the two teams' rosters, and Andy Hart talked about this on the afternoon show this week, the Yankees probably have more of the top-end talent than the Red Sox. If you just look at the roster, but they just find a way to make so many of these mistakes. Like, we sit here all the time and talk about the Red Sox fielding mistakes, the Red Sox base running mistakes, or little mistakes they make here and there. And it feels like the Yankees are step for step with them and make it sound like, I joked earlier about the World Series game, but they lost the World Series game because of fielding mistakes, right? And last night was a huge part of, like you mentioned, in that, like, you look at they committed 3 errors in the second inning alone. And I know David Hamilton got picked off, but the Yankees commit 3. If they don't commit 3 errors, the Red Sox don't score a run there. Maybe we're talking about a different kind of early part of that game. And
but
maybe
then on the flip
outcome.
Side of that, it's also you only come out of that inning with 1 run.
Right,
like,
which was frustrating.
In terms of capitalizing on when the Yankees are sucking, like, are you being situationally, I don't know, like, are you being opportunistic enough? I don't know. And I don't, again, we're coming off of a win. You're sitting where you want to in the driver's seat of this series. And you're in Yankee Stadium, and Roman Anthony is awesome, so I don't want to take anything away from any of that. But I also don't come out of this feeling 100% like, okay, they're back on track. They've figured this out.
And it was funny, through the first four innings, the Red Sox were 0 for 10 with men on base. Because remember, that run they scored wasn't a hit. It was, the overthrow on second, right, on the steal. So they didn't get a hit with men on base through the first four innings. And then they got better as the game went on, which was nice to see. But, yeah, you do want to see a little bit more consistency there. And like, it's the man on base thing, especially men in scoring position, has been such a weird thing with this team. Because if you go back to early June, they were 22nd with runners in scoring position, their average. And then over the course of the rest of June, July, they got it all the way up to 13th. They were really good with runners in scoring position for like a two-month span. And then on this past homestand, they were really bad with runners in scoring position. And then they weren't much better in the first four innings last night. And then as the game went on, they started to maybe get some of those hits. And like I said, that was one of my favorite things about the Anthony Homer. There was a guy in scoring position, and they got a hit. And so hopefully, to me, like I look at it, is you're going against Max Fried tonight, a guy who is a good pitcher but has struggled a lot lately. Can they kind of continue that trend? Can they build on that trend? Because that's something this year. They've won 10 in a row, and then they've won 7 in a row, but then they've had these stretches where they can't build on things. Can they build on what they did in the second half of the game last night?
Text line 617-779-7937. 413 says, Megan, did you watch the game last night? That triple was no fault of the Red Sox. Something on the wall. It took
that did
a crazy
hit a weird
car.
Spot
it
on
was
the corner
weird.
Of the padding.
I agree. Like, I think it's just the, and yes, I did watch the game last night, but it does... You do expect when Sidon is in center field, maybe I just have such high standards for him, and that's fine. He was running around kind of like he was at an Easter egg hunt, like a chicken with his head cut off.
He took a brutal route to that ball.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Like, he looked like he couldn't, and again, it may be the angle of it coming off the wall, but in watching it, it looked like he had no idea where it was going. It was strange. It was a bad play, but you can say nobody is going to be able to make that play if Sidon can't make that play, I'd accept that.
And we're going to talk later in the show about the password getting promoted. And there's a texter saying you should give, you know, Nathaniel Lowe some credit in this game. And
we said he's the crucible.
And one thing that I can hope from all these movements around is that they just keep Rafael in center field, right? Because I think best defensive center fielder in the AL, one of the best, if not the best, in the major leagues. But they've been kind of screwing him around. Like, they put him at second base, where, by the way, his average is like 130 points lower at second base than it is in center field.
Yeah, because he's uncomfy.
Exactly. And he's not as good a defender at second base. So hopefully, like, maybe a play like that specific play, maybe if he's playing in center field every single night, he makes that play a little quicker. I don't know. And that it might not be, because it did hit a weird spot at the bottom of the wall. It kicked out at a weird angle. But that's... I'm hoping, especially again with Lowe here now at first base all the time with Gonzalez, that maybe now that'll stabilize things in the infield and Rafael can just play center.
Okay, well, speaking of second base, let's go to JD in Western Mass. What's up, JD?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on?
Well, I'm just wondering why we haven't heard Von Grissom's name. I mean, he's a true second baseman, and I believe his numbers are pretty good in AAA. And they keep recalling David Hamilton, who I've you know, just not sure, other than his speed, is what he brings to the major league team.
Thanks, JD. Yeah,
They just place him on the injured list.
That's
in
what
Worcester.
Chris Cotillo from Mass Live, who we talked to yesterday, if you want to find that on the Odyssey app, you can check out all of this week's episodes of all your WEI shows. It's always available, and you can listen to us live on there. But yeah, according to Chris Cotillo, Grissom was placed on the 7-day injured list by Worcester Wednesday due to right foot inflammation. But he is somebody who, once the roster expands in September, you could see come up. And maybe if David Hamilton is continuing to just be a little bit subpar, they'll be able to have him up here.
Yeah, and like Zach and I, we've talked about this. I still don't understand why they didn't bring him up earlier, especially when Campbell wasn't working out. Like, he hit 270 this year, and you traded Chris Sale for him.
Well, the trade returns, I think, with this.
But I think when you traded,
I don't think those guarantee that you're going to have somebody that is at the major league level.
That's true. But like, Zach, you and I were on the air when they traded Chris Sale for Grissom. And our conversation then was, okay, is this guy going to be their second baseman of the future?
Yeah, I think part of the issue with Grissom is that he's worse defensively than Hamilton, and he really struggles against velocity. I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, but he's hitting like 300 on fastballs under 93 miles an hour, and then right around the Mendoza line on fastballs above that. So,
There's a stats and information department, Zach Coe.
Just a few things that I want to point out to illustrate how bad the Yankees were last night. This is from Katie Sharp on Twitter. She had, before tonight, this being last night, the last time the Yankees committed 4+ errors and walked 9 or more batters in a 9-inning game at home was May 11th, 1912.
Wow. So Babe Ruth was still on the Red Sox back then.
A bit of a while. Do you want to know what happened on May 11th, 1912?
Oh, something did something significant. What?
Well, no, this is just in a baseball
context. Oh, I thought
you meant
like a historical
date. It wasn't like the sinking of the Titanic or something like that.
Okay, that was
like
in April of 1912.
Yeah,
right?
That was April of 1912. Yeah. From Sports Illustrated, what exactly happened on May 11th of 1912? Well, the Detroit Tigers beat the New York Highlanders 9-5 at Hilltop Park. Do you want to hear who was involved in that game?
Yeah.
Cozy Dolan.
Okay.
Birdie Cree.
Okay.
George McConnell and Ed Sweeney, they were all responsible for the 4 errors.
Okay. Nathaniel Lowe wasn't one of them?
No. Nathaniel Lowe was an earlier era than that. Nathaniel Lowe, if he was playing in that era, he'd have like Nice Natty Lowe as his nickname.
That's true. That was back in the day. Smokey Joe Wood won 34 games for the Red Sox that year.
Look, we'll talk about the password promotion. We have cool nicknames now, like the password, but they don't have like the jauntiness of that era that I'd love to bring back.
Yeah. True. And the password's brother, who they call the username.
Is that true?
Yeah. That's
what's
true.
His name?
Zach Coe, what's his full
name? Johan Fran.
Yeah.
Johan Fran.
That's the username.
Why is that a username?
I think it's the password, the username, their brothers. I think that's...
Okay.
Yeah.
It seems like it should go the other... Is he the older brother?
Because
username comes first, password comes second.
I believe he's the younger brother.
I think he is, right? Because I think the password is the older one, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that
password's better, too.
Password is a better
Is a better player.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's definitely a better nickname than username. We'll continue our Red Sox talk on the other side of this quick trending. It's 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to jump in via text line, which is very active this morning, or if you want to call in. But right now, we have trending.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
He's probably the most mature 21-year-old baseball-wise I've ever been around in my life. We're trying to find out what he does wrong, honestly. We don't know if he has any vices or anything. He just does everything the right way. And the moment's never too big for him. He knows who he is. He knows what he does well, and he sticks to that, and he executes.
New York has been waiting for Roman Anthony, who made quite the debut with the home run that put the Red Sox up 6-3 over the Yankees last night. Very, very badly needed. And you hear Alex Bregman there after the game talking about his young teammate having to remind himself that he's just 21 years old, because the guy's composure, his maturity, like at one point, I think it was Bobby Manning from CLNS who asked him about, hey, like, what advice are you going to give him? And he's like, I don't know. What advice can I give him? He's perfect. Everybody in the clubhouse is basically telling you Roman Anthony is perfect. And I do want to say, I see a lot of texts coming in on the text line, concerns about Jones and Keith. Which a lot of people
stuck with us for a few
Jones
more hours,
Keith,
folks. Sorry.
Jones and Keith will be back on Monday, as far as I know, I promise. They're just taking a little vacation after a long summer and a lot of work and a lot of great work on the Jimmy Fund. So it's Megan Ottolini and John Lyons with you. Up until 2 o'clock today, we are expecting to have a Patriots player. I think it's going to be Mike Nwenu at 1:15. So we'll talk to him about the stress around cutdown day. I would hazard to guess that guy's okay. He's like maybe the one certain piece of your offensive line. But we'll talk to him, and we'll talk to him about the preseason and everything under Mike Vrabel, who's searching out rats like Jack Nicholson in The Departed right now. We'll get to that later in the show. We'll talk Patriots for sure. We'll talk a really strange movement that's happening across Boston that I would like to personally speak to. But we'll have a lot of Red Sox.
Yeah, I believe that's a movement Zach Coe is a big supporter of. We'll find that out later. But Yeah, it's the Roman Anthony thing is, I think, has been awesome to watch because it reminds me so much, Mego, of a few years back when the Royals first called up Bobby Witt, and you're like, wow, this dude's going to be a top 10 player in baseball not too long. Or when the Padres first had Fernando Tatis Jr. up, and you're like, wow, this dude, this is something special. And you watch Roman Anthony, and you just feel like, not now, but within 2 or 3 years, we're going to be talking about him as a top 10 player in baseball. He's already arguably the best player in their lineup. I mean, I know Bregman's obviously been really good, and I know Rafael, especially that you combine with what he's done in the field, has been really good, and Abreu's got over 20 homers. But, I mean, just since the All-Star break, Mego, Roman Anthony's hitting .308, and I think even more impressive, 22 walks since the All-Star break. That's sixth in the majors, and the guys ahead of him, Ohtani, Tatis Jr., Mike Trout. Like, that's the class of guys with his plate discipline that he's in. Like, and he's doing so many things well. It's been really fun to watch, and I wish they brought him up earlier, but it's been a lot of fun to watch. Like I said, I really think he's on the track where 2027, 2028, we're going to be talking about one of the top 10 best players in baseball.
Dark and Stormy Nights from the Twitch chat says Jones and Keefe are vacationing together.
They could be.
They could be. I don't think they are.
Billy Lanny's out today, so maybe he joined them. You know, maybe that it's a big show vacation.
That would be quite adorable.
Showcation.
I would love that for them, but I'm pretty sure they're all with their individual families.
Yeah, I think
spending
they're
a little quality time. But
huddled
if they,
around their
if
radio
they
did, listening to us.
If they did have a three boys trip, you know, out somewhere on the Cape, I would love that for them. I think that would be very cute. And I would be very much in support of that, especially if Odyssey was footing the bill for them, because they've been doing great work this year.
Then I would doubly support it.
I just don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either.
Could be all four of them with Nick. He's not here.
Oh, that's true. Nick's
This is true. This is a true summer Friday for the regulars. And I love being here with you, John Lyons, but I got to say, this is when you get the vacation in before football season truly starts.
Yeah.
Like for us, our summer ends at the beginning or at the very end of July, because that's when training camp starts. And that's the best look that you can get at the Patriots. But anyway, I'm digressing. With Roman Anthony, is it time to put him in the conversation that I like to have, which is the Crochet versus Bregman, who's the biggest impact on this team this year?
Yeah, I mean, look,
do we throw Roman Anthony? Is he in that level of conversation yet?
Yes. And look at since when did they call? Was it June 8th or 9th, whenever they called him up? Since that date, they've been one of the best teams in baseball, and he's a huge part of it. And they have him hitting, he's been so good, they have him hitting leadoff now. I mean, in a real conversation for Rookie of the Year. And I know the A's got a couple really good rookies, but he's in that conversation, and he missed the first 2 months of the year down in AAA. Like, he's been that good. Their offense has gotten much better. Like I talked about in the first segment how suddenly in June and July the Red Sox are much better with runners in scoring position than before that. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's when he came up. So yeah, I think it's Crochet, Bregman, and Anthony. You know, pick your team MVP. You know, and another guy like Trevor Story, who's had a, you know, much better last couple months, and I think he's still the team leader in RBIs in that conversation, but I think it's a Bregman, Crochet, Anthony conversation.
So according to ESPN, and I'm not a betting person, as I always disclaim, the American League Rookie of the Year favorites right now, Nick Kurtz from the A's, as you said, he's a minus 15,000. But Roman Anthony is 25-1. Cam Smith from the Astros is 35-1. Dominguez from the Yankees is 50-1. So
Anthony's second.
Anthony's definitely in the conversation, but it looks like Nick Kurtz from the A's
he's been awesome.
Gonna run away.
Wasn't he the guy that went like 8-for-8 in that game too?
Four home runs.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, well, the A's, talk about a team that just sucked forever. They finally have some good young players, I guess. I don't know. But Anthony being in that conversation, it's, again, I don't think it's just him in the Rookie of the Year conversation. I think you see the trajectory of, we're going to be talking about him like a Bobby Witt in a couple of years. We're going to say, hey, this top 10 player in all of Major League Baseball. Like, it's, again, and to me, it's the plate discipline as much as anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not just the home run last, the poise in the ninth inning at home run at Yankee Stadium is really cool to see, but all the walks he's drawn, especially in key spots.
And that's something that I don't know if that is just something that developed super early for him in the minor leagues or if it comes naturally to him, but that's kind of who he's been since he's been up at the major leagues level. Yeah. Like that it's not like it's something that's been a big learning curve for him. And I think when you listen to Alex Cora talk, that's really the composure that he's talking about. He's not trying to force something, especially being in big spots like he was last night. Somebody else who's made an immediate impact on this team is Nathaniel Lowe, who I'm trying to get the nickname the Crucible going for. Maybe you want to throw him the Scarlet Letter, because I just think okay. He has one of those weird, like, old New England names that goes all the way
I'm
back.
I'm in on the Crucible.
You
like
the Crucible?
One. Yeah.
I don't really know what a Crucible is other than the novel slash play.
Yeah, it's the thing Johnny Tremaine burnt his hand on, right? Isn't in that book, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Go back and look.
You can call in to find the Crucible. Yeah. I'm familiar with the play. I'm familiar with the movie that starred Winona Ryder from the 90s. But this is our own Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring. He sat down with Nathaniel Lowe to talk about how he got released from the Washington Nationals just on August 16th and how quickly that turnaround was to Boston.
And I went to the field, turned the corner, and GM's in the office. I'm like, well, I'm getting taken off the roster. Like, so I called him, and thankfully he was there to help me pack up my rental house. And that was Thursday afternoon that I got cut. Most of it was packed Thursday night, put the finishing touches on everything Friday morning, and I'm at home in Texas with her waiting to see what happens, like, the next day.
Oh.
Yeah, so Thursday DFA'd, Friday at home. Sunday afternoon, flying out to Boston. Tuesday, I'm in the starting lineup, and I get to hit a homer at the end of the game.
So, a wild turnaround for Nathaniel Lowe, getting released from the Nationals. To be fair, for how good he's looked in the very limited time that he's been here, his OPS was a career low through 119 games with the Nats, and they have this focus that they're one of these clubs that's not going anywhere this season, so they want to focus on the development of the young guys. But it looks like having him on a minimum contract, like, this is a great steal from the front office. Like, give the front office credit when they, and again, it's a very small sample size, but he got you through this game, and he was a huge contributor in maybe one of the worst losses of the season. Like, he's certainly stepping up to the plate quite literally where you need him to.
Nice to have a competent first baseman too, right? I feel like they've been looking for that for a while. But this is a guy that in 2022 had 27 homers and hit 300, and he was a big part of the Rangers winning the World Series in 2023. He had three homers in that playoff run. So this is a guy that I know he struggled this year. If they can get competent first base play and some of that power production out of him that he had with the Rangers, that'll be a nice addition to your lineup. Like, and again, it's another guy, and you and I have talked about this, how they're relying so much on young players in this stretch run. It's nice to have another guy besides Bregman in your lineup that knows what it takes to win a World Series, right? Knows what it takes to go deep in October, even if he struggled this year. Like, that's just like Chapman in the bullpen and Buehler in the rotation. It's good to have guys that know what it takes to win in September, to win in October. And I think Lowe is another one of those guys. Now, is he going to be, you know, a 20 home run guy like he was a few years ago? Probably not. But if you can get decent production out of him with good first base play, or at least solid first base play, I think it's a really good move.
So going back to what you talked about, the young players, and so much of the emphasis right now has to be on Roman Anthony and what he's been for you, does beg the question, did you wait too long to bring Anthony up to the major leagues?
Oh, 100%.
What is behind that? Because it's hard not to be very cynical and say this was a contract situation, this was the Red Sox trying to save themselves a little money. Since he's been up here, like, it's kind of like a lose-lose debate for them, because since he's been up here, he's been polished, practically perfect in every way. And so you go, they could say, well, look, he needed that time to be here, but it obviously looks like with all the one-run games that you've lost this season, sure would have been nice to have somebody who had that composure at the plate earlier.
And his last few weeks in AAA, he was tearing the cover off the ball. Like, he looked ready well before that. And you combine it with a couple other outside factors, and, like, Marcelo Meyer was more experienced than Campbell, had a better spring training, but they played Campbell anyway to start, and he fell off after a good first month, but then fell off. And the Anthony situation, too, like, the way they promoted him, it was like on a Tuesday afternoon, they're like, all right, come to Boston, you're going to play, where I feel like a lot of times with these young players, they try to start them on the road or give them more advance notice. So I didn't really love the way they handled that.
What do you mean? What do you think that means to you?
I just think maybe either – I don't want to say they were bending the pressure, but almost like they were scrambling a little bit. Like, oh, our offense is bad. Because that was at the point where they were really bad with runners in scoring position. Their offense was, you know, having an 18-run game, but then five, you know, two-run games. So maybe they're like, oh, crap, we got to do something. We got to get this guy up
You're
here.
Telling me that the Red Sox did something for optics?
Maybe, or just a little bit of scrambling and how bad their lineup was. But, yeah, it could be an optics thing as well. Because, again, a lot of times with these young players, I feel like traditionally they would try to start them out on the road or at least with a little bit more notice. And this, and Marcelo Meyer was the same thing. He got the call on like a Saturday late morning, early
Again,
afternoon.
Couldn't find his freaking car keys.
And they were like, oh, we have a game at 4 on this Saturday. Marcelo, come up and be in the lineup. Like that. So I feel like they wait. It's a weird because they waited too long to call both of them up. But then when they actually did it, they rushed it in the moment. It's just kind of bizarre. That they do. Like, you wonder if these two guys are on the opening day roster, Mego, would they be first in the AL East right now?
That's what I'm saying.
Or closer to first.
They're even calling it out on the broadcast last night, which wasn't my favorite. Like, I don't know. Maybe I've just gotten too used to the voices on NESN and our voices on WEEI, but I thought that it was like a really lackluster broadcast.
Oh, I love the Fox
night?
National games.
Really?
Yeah. And why? I like Sunday Night Baseball
too,
on ESPN a lot.
Too, I like Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, actually. But last night it felt like too lackluster.
Maybe
to me.
A little more
It might have been the
Thursday
nature of
night.
The game being so messy and sloppy. Yeah. But they did point out, like, okay, the difference for this team, for this Red Sox team, has been the one-run games. And I just, it's hard not to look at the Roman Anthony situation and say, to your point, if he's on the opening day roster, maybe the learning curve is a little steeper for him. But seeing who he's been these last, since he's been up here, it's hard to buy that hypothetical.
Yeah, and in their first 13 one-run games, the Red Sox are 4-9. And I know Anthony had a tough first couple of weeks, but if he has those tough first couple weeks a little earlier and then he hits the ground running sooner, I think you would be better. It surprised me that of the quote-unquote big three, Campbell was the one that was on the opening day roster.
Yeah. And that's where it looks like Campbell played ball with a contract.
And he did, right? And that's something that, remember, Rafaela played ball with a contract and they had him up relatively early a year ago. It's, you know, you hope that's not the case, but it seems like it is.
It just kind of
especially for
seems
a big market
way.
Team. Like yes. It's one thing if the Pirates want to screw around with that stuff, but come on.
Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield, one of our favorites. How you doing this Friday, Sorja?
Doing great. How about you yourself?
Doing okay. What's going on?
Really quick here. The thing that's grinding my gear so much is that a couple weeks ago, Cooper Criswell, he had a great start, 7 innings, I believe it was, against the Astros. I just don't understand why he's not getting back into the rotation. I mean, like, every time Walker Buehler's on the mound, you're just praying to God that it's not like a 6 earned runs in 4 innings, right? And I think my biggest complaint with this team now is, like, you know, the trade deadline has come and gone. We can't spend any more time complaining about it. But I think my biggest complaint is the streakiness of this team, right? You see so many times where they'll score 14 runs, right? But then in a 4-3 game, they just can't get you one run. And I just – all I want for this team is to be in a position for until the end of the season with the AL East with the Jays. And that, I think it's that September 24 series. It'll be really interesting if they're 2 games behind the Jays and they kind of sweep the Jays and then win the AL East that way. Because I think if this team is hot, they can make a deep postseason run.
Thank you, Sorja. I feel like we are in a deja vu moment. Criswell's on the IL.
Yeah,
Wister just put him on the 7-day
IL. Like the Von Grissom thing, it was like they, I don't know how long a stint it's going to be, and you still wonder why they weren't up here before.
Right.
I don't know. And Greg Hill and Chris Curtis were talking about this morning a little bit. If this Red Sox team, I think we have to resign ourselves as just a streaky group with so many young guys.
I think
that's just kind of what they are.
I think that's fair to say. We are going to talk about another young guy right after this quick break. The password, he gets the notice that he's up in the majors, expecting to see him against the Yankees. What are your expectations? How are you feeling about this move for the Red Sox right after this?
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple. but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Notable social media update here. If you follow Drake May on Instagram, which I'm sure you all do, I'm sure that's really high on your list of priorities in terms of following along with sports.
Besides following me.
He shared Roman Anthony's homer last night on his Instagram story. I don't know if you care about that. I think it's kind of interesting. I feel like it's Drake May trying to show that he's like of this fraternity of Boston sports and wants to appeal to the fans.
Did you watch Paul Pierce on Edelman's podcast?
Yes,
Game with Names?
Talking about Vince Wilfork.
But I think that he talked about that whole environment where
so
all the teams
about
were good.
That Vince
they went
was
to
a,
each other's
was a
games.
Massive Celtics fan.
Yeah.
Like both in size and in his exuberance. And so Paul Pierce is saying he would just like laugh his ass off seeing Vince in his big Celtics jersey courtside.
But they showed a picture of Vince and like three seats over was Randy Moss. And it's like, so all those guys were like, went to each other. And I thought that was a cool thing about Boston sports, really, in that like 2007 to 2015, 16.
It still happens.
It still does. But back then, like all four teams won a championship.
Yeah, everybody
in that
was
span.
Winning. So it
so,
was a little more high
exactly.
profile.
Like now, you know, the Bruins
a couple
are
years ago, I sat
years
in
away.
Damian yeah. Harris's seat by accident.
Okay.
I was doing something media wise and then I got kind of tired courtside. So I sat in this seat that was just right at the baseline. And this woman came over to me and was like, "That's actually my boyfriend's seat. Do you mind moving?" And I was like, "Oh, who's your boyfriend?" And I didn't say that.
How
I was
dare
just like,
you?
I was
"Who's
like,
your boyfriend?" I'm not getting up
no,
till I know.
I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." I got up and it was Damien looking all like sheepish and weird. And I'm like, "I'm the one who stole your seat. I should be the one who's sheepish and weird."
Sick brag, bro.
It was. It was sick. No, it was actually pretty embarrassing. I felt pretty bad. I don't, yeah. I'm not usually a seat snatcher, but I was tired and I just wanted to rest for a minute.
Sorry, you're still here.
That's all right. Yeah.
He's not.
That's
so,
not nice.
I'm not trying to be mean. So you survived. You made it through. You're
I
still
did.
Here.
I did. Damian Harris had a pretty good little career.
He had a good run.
Here.
He did
if,
have a good
if
run.
Any of the running backs had a Damian Harris type season at the beginning of his time here, I think we'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, I would.
If
hate
they,
that.
If you had that tandem going with Ramondre Stevenson again.
Yeah.
But there was some news yesterday. The password got called up. Here's the sound of. All right, are you ready? I'm going to try it. Justinson. Justinson, right? Garcia
yes.
getting called up from Worcester, letting them know that he's going to be traveling to New York.
How you feel?
Feel good.
Physically good?
Yeah.
First base stuff has been okay? Comfortable?
Yeah.
You're good.
Feel good.
Have you ever been to Yankee Stadium?
Not yet.
Do you want to go?
Of course.
Today?
Yeah.
You go play in the big leagues? What do you think? You're going to the big leagues. You're going to leave tonight and go to Yankee Stadium tonight. Yeah, baby. Congratulations.
I don't even care how this kid does. I just love those videos. I'm such a sucker for those. Like, I love, I would like the audio to improve a little bit. Maybe we can, I know it's probably like a, you're trying to keep it undercover or whatever, but give those to me all day. We need more of those in sports.
Yeah.
Like, somebody finds out they're getting a big contract or something. Like, they did this with Draymond Green, and I know everybody, like, hates Draymond Green. I get it. But when Draymond Green, I think he made his first All-Star, and they had his mom jump in on an interview and tell him on television. Like, I just love that stuff. I like seeing those happy moments for
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, those NFL guys at the end of training camp who make the roster, like, that's really... That's cool. That's always cool to
see.
Yeah,
that's the hard knocks-ification of this.
That's cool to see.
Which, by the way, this season of Hard Knocks is dreadful.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I tried watching the first episode.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, it was Bills. So I thought, okay, maybe like we'll get some fun stuff with Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld or something. It was so boring. Yeah. I turned it off halfway through. And then I came out of the room like the next day or out of the bedroom and my husband was watching episode 2 or 3, and I asked if it got any better, and he was like, they did some of the Damar Hamlin stuff, which was kind of interesting, kind of like a rough watch, but It would have been much better with UNC and Bill Belichick and Jordan.
Did you watch any of that UNC, whatever they're calling it, their Twitter documentary?
No, is it good?
Yeah, it was pretty. I actually thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was kind of like what you would expect from Hard Knocks without as many interviews. So it's just kind of behind the scenes stuff. I thought it was solid. I mean, nothing. If you cover the Patriots, there's nothing that's like surprising or shocking. And I think the last time I actually watched all of Hard Knocks was when the Cleveland Browns were on. What was that, 2018?
Oh, my God. 19. That was
Baker
a long time
Mayfield
ago.
Was like a young rookie or second-year guy. Tyrod Taylor was there.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson was the head coach. Yeah. That's what it's been since then.
I watched a lot of the Jets when Aaron Rodgers was there. That just out of morbid curiosity. Yeah. I watched the first couple episodes
of that.
The
Jets one with Rex Ryan was pretty. That was awesome.
Spicy.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Hard Knocks is in a tough place right now. A lot of teams don't want to do it. I think the Giants one really backfired on them the decisions that they showed on air and Saquon Barkley then going and winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles and looking incredible. Like, I think right now it's just a little bit of a don't want to touch that.
Yeah. I did watch the All or Nothing Michigan football, which was from like 18 or 19, and that was like their version of Hard Knocks, and that was... That was pretty good, but I don't know. I just can't get into it. Like with the Bills, I don't know. I can't get into it. Like if the Patriots were on it, I would watch it. Other than that, I can't get into it.
Textline says I should have smiled at the woman and asked Damian Harris for an interview. I just had stolen his seat at the basketball game.
Yeah. That might have created a lot of awkward situations.
Yeah, it was already awkward. Like and I'm really awkward to begin with. Like, if I don't mean to be rude, I just do weird stuff. And so I don't think I would have, I don't think that would have gone well.
Yeah.
I don't think I have
it's
the charm or charisma that would have carried that into a great interview that I could have gotten for the Herald at the time.
Wasn't there a time when, like, Glenn Davis went to a Celtics game and he got shown on TV courtside and he was, like, violating his parole or something being there?
Yeah, I think a warrant went out
and
for
I was
him
like,
after
dude,
that.
So it's like, dude, like. Whatever, your situation's your situation. Why are you going to sit courtside if you're in that situation?
Well, I'm sure the Celtics event people working the Jumbotron had no idea, or
no,
the broadcast. Like, it just it was what it was. But we're obviously itching to talk Patriots. Not the most exciting preseason finale last night, but a lot of speculation as to what's going to happen with their roster and some spicy comments from Mike Vrabel. I'm sure you've heard them. We want to talk about what they mean right after this quick break.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.